I acknowledge my need of you today. You are the Spirit of truth. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal truth to us. Lord, that which is real, that which is really real, we want to know you, Lord. Lord, we don't want to believe a lie as though it were true and therefore be deceived. We want to know truth. You came that we might receive life, Lord, and life abundantly. And we know life, Lord, comes as a result of understanding you who are the truth. Truth liberates. Truth exposes the darkness and drives it out. No lie can operate where there is truth. Father, let the truth be known. Reveal yourself to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, the high priest, running down on the edge of his garments. Sunday night, we talked about this, that the garments are you and I, the body of Christ on the earth. Amen. Aaron, the high priest, representative of what? Or Christ in the heavens, our head, the head of the church. The command and control center, amen? We are the members here on the earth. And so there needs to be a connection. Would you agree? And I talked about an illustration I've used many times. Maybe you've heard it before. But we cannot have unity when we look at one another for that. Unity comes through our union with Christ. When you and I are tuned into Him, then we have unity among ourselves. You cannot have peace in your heart until you first have peace with God. And we cannot have peace among ourselves until we have peace with God as individuals. You don't tune a piano to another piano. You tune it to a tuning fork, a standard. And so it is, you and I need to be tuned to Christ as individuals, and then we will have unity. And you notice it didn't say uniformity, but unity. Uniformity is North Korea. Everybody looks the same. Everybody's supposed to talk the same, walk the same. God created each one of us as an individual, but never to be independent of the body. There are those who feel like, well, I can just have church by myself, doing my own thing, and with my remote, me and my remote. Now, there's cases where people can't get out to a fellowship meeting like this. That's understandable. But how many know that we do not grow healthy except that we be part of the body? It's like the hand trying to operate, you know, without the rest of the body. We need each other, and we need to be connected to Him who is, amen, the command and control center. He's the one who gives the directions. The mind gives the direction to the body. And we've been given the mind of Christ that we may know what is freely given to us and how we must function, how we should function as a body and not as individuals with our own agenda. There's only one agenda that I want, and that's God's agenda. Amen? We need His agenda, and we need to all be pulling in the same direction. And if we're plugged into Christ, we will understand that direction. It will also deliver us from our greatest enemy, which is ourselves. The carnal nature wars against the Spirit. And so we must walk in the Spirit. We must stay filled with the Holy Spirit. We must stay tuned into Christ so that we will know the mind of Christ, the heart of God. Amen? That way we will have peace with one another. Jesus said, have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. You know, salt also symbolizes the Holy Spirit. We are a savor of life as believers, as we are connected to Him who is life. Because apart from Him, we have no life. So unity and not uniformity. We're all individuals. We all have different talents and abilities. But together we make up the body of Christ. I certainly cannot do this without you. We cannot, you know, effectively advance the kingdom of God unless we work together as a body. And how good and how pleasant it is. Because we do have unity here. And it's because this is a church where people have a heart for God. They have a passion for Christ. We want to know Him. We want to experience God. It's okay, you know. He wants you to have an experience with Him. And when you have an experience with Him, you will have experiences. If you don't have any experiences, you need to question if you have an experience with God. How can you encounter the living God and not have fruit, not have manifestation of that? Hello? There will be evidence. Faith has evidence. It has substance. It's not superstition. It's not blind faith. It's reality. The kingdom of heaven is among you. It's the reality that can set you free. If you realize that God is here, you can be set free. Truth will be known. Because wherever He is, there's truth. He is the truth. He's the light. John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Yeah, that means you, that means me, are to be doing the works that Jesus began. He says it's needful that I go to the Father. Because if I don't go away, you know, I won't be sending the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power, amen, so that you may continue to do the works that I began. He said greater works, in other words, greater in number. Nothing greater than raising someone from the dead. Come on. And no one here is greater than Jesus. Greater. Because there's more of us on the earth now. As God has given us delegated authority through Christ to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus didn't do miracles just because of compassion. Of course, He is God of love. He has compassion. And we should have compassion on people. And we want to see people get well because we have compassion. But it wasn't just because of compassion. The reason Jesus did miracles was to prove, come on, that He was the Son of God. When the devil thought he had the monopoly, Jesus shows up and messed him up. Because the devil was operating in the Pharisee too. That religious spirit. Jesus showed up, the same one that they've been preaching about for years. And when He shows up, they didn't even recognize Him. Because they had a different Jesus. They had a different Messiah. And He came and He messed them up. And whenever you operate and you move, truly move in the Holy Spirit, that religious crowd's not going to understand you. They're not going to get you. They're going to criticize you. They're going to put you down. Oh, I don't know about that speaking in tongues stuff. Tongue talker. You one of them tongue talker in churches? I had somebody ask me the other day. Well, I let him talk a little more. I didn't answer him right away. And he began to say, well, I heard that tongues went out with the writing of the canon. Oh, how many have heard that one? 1 Corinthians 13. They take one scripture out of context without understanding it and build a whole doctrine on it simply because they have not understood, they have not been there themselves. Often it is because if the minister has not been there, he sometimes in his own insecurity doesn't allow anybody else to go there either. How many know that all of us are responsible to be building ourselves and growing in the Lord? Amen. I have to keep growing, you have to keep growing. So that we can be an encouragement. And together we are built. Together we are edified as one body under Christ. Amen? Amen? We all have our assignment. We just have to make sure we're in our assignment. If we're in our assignments and we are plugged into Him who is the standard, then we will have unity. And where there's unity, there is power. And on the day of Pentecost, they are all together in one place. Would you say amen to that? Amen. And they were in unity of hearts, in one accord. And suddenly, So the enemy knows that unity among people is very important. All right? And that's why he is trying to get the masses to unify under him. There is a corporate mind. There is a, if you will, a public mindset that's out there that many have tapped into because we are spiritual beings. We have to understand what mind we're tapping into, what power we're tapping into, what thought systems we're getting tapped into. Because the enemy knows that if he can rally enough people together to believe the lie that he's presenting to them, that he can effect change and destroy many people. He knows that people united have a lot of power. As a matter of fact, God knows that. And I want you to turn to Genesis 11. Let's take a quick look at that. The Tower of Babel. It's the same thing all over again, folks. Nothing new under the sun. Verse 1, chapter 11 of Genesis. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now understand that the Lord had told them to multiply, right, and replenish the earth, to spread out on the earth. But the tendency of man, ever since the fall, is to rebel and be an individual. Autonomy from God, right? I'm my own God. I'll make my own choices, my own decisions. Thank you very much. And they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And then they said to one another, here they started to come together, but they didn't come together under God. Nothing new, same thing happening today. People are coming together under Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us, independent of God, build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They thought that if they just got together, that they could somehow just, you know, defy God, overcome God. Isn't it interesting that you see these same patterns take place in societies, don't we? How many have been paying attention in the Middle East, right? How quickly a few people can stir up an entire crowd and get them thinking a certain way and uniting around a certain common goal or purpose and have a lot of influence, have a lot of impact, whether for good or for evil. And so they're saying, we're going to do our own thing here. We'll get together and we're going to build a tower to reach to heaven. And they were exalting man. They were exalting themselves. And there are those who believe that these were the, I can't think of the right name, but they're like the pyramids. That this thing was like a temple where they would build this great pyramid in Mesopotamia, they believe is where it is. And they would, the gods were to walk down these stairs to the earth. They were like stairways for the gods. Also, they would worship the stars often from the platforms on the top of these things. And so there was a rebellion in the heart of man. And God came down and he saw what they were doing. And he knew that if people get together and they are disconnected from him, then the only result can be greater evil on the earth. So God says, no, I'm not going to allow that to go on. I told you to spread out. And you're going to spread out. That's what happened. So you see how a common mind, if you will, of people and people groups coming together with common purpose and goals that they establish, and they begin to think and they begin to speak the same things, can have a lot of influence, a lot of power in the earth. So we see also, on the other side of that, that you and I, as the body of Christ, need to also be together. We need to be thinking and speaking the same thing. How many know that the Word of God is very important for us, that we know what the Bible says, so we can start thinking the same thing and speaking the same thing? Where there's unity, God commands the blessings. He releases eternal life through the body. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. He has chosen you and I, mankind, as vessels to represent Him on the earth. And there must be unity among us for that to come in. We pray the kingdom to come, the will of God to be done. Do you know that God has put it in our hands? We don't know the day or the hour, but God did give us the instruction to pray for this to come. And even as John in Revelation said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And Israel right now is beginning to wake up. And they're beginning to cry out to Messiah. And I want you to know that the things that are happening in the earth are all pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return, and He's returning for His bride. He's returning for His people that have prepared themselves and made themselves ready, for He has not appointed His people to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation. Because the bridegroom has been on a long journey, and the bride is in preparation. But He's long waited for the precious fruit of the earth. Not only us, but those people that are out there. Amen? Our brothers and sisters that are in the world that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that need to be told that God has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, that God is giving to us a kingdom. He is allowing us to be a part of His kingdom. If we unify and stay connected to the standard Jesus, there will be peace among us. There will be power as the body is moving together in the direction that the Lord steers us. You and I, if you will, are the oars. Amen? We need to be all rowing in the same direction. And the Lord is the one who is directing the ship. Hello? But if you've got somebody over here saying, I think I want to row this way. Thank you very much. I'm an individual. We are individuals, but we make up the body. And how good and how pleasant it is when we get along. We are blessed with a church that has people who love each other. Would you agree? We love each other here. We are a family. And we need to constantly guard that and not allow any infestations from the enemy to come in. And you know you're not going to do that by looking around for demons and doorknobs. Would you agree? Yeah. Come on, you're not just looking for, is that a witch that just came in? Thank God if a witch comes in here, amen. We'll get her saved. Or him. But we don't look at man. We look at Jesus. That's the message. Keep looking to me, the Lord says. If you tuned into me, hallelujah, I will open your eyes. You will see clearly. If we all do this as individuals, stay plugged in and understand that we're part of something much bigger than ourselves, then we can work together as a team and we can be more effective than if there was just a few. And the enemy knows that, and that's why he's constantly trying to stir up discord. Now, this is not happening here, but I'm telling you that we have to be alert. Amen? Not looking around for that, not looking for that to happen, but looking to Jesus every day. And then we will be very much aware. We'll have discernment. You don't get discernment any other way except through communion with Christ. Amen? Are you with me? When you're full of Him, then your mind will be captivated as well by Him. Amen? You will have the mind of Christ. You will be able to see clearly. When there's light in the body, amen, darkness has no place to operate. When a person lacks discernment, it means that there are areas of darkness in their lives. And how many would believe today that maybe there might be a little bit of a blind spot in you somewhere today? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Come on up, for we're going to altar call. Everybody has blind spots. The hand doesn't really know what it's like to be a foot. And some people can walk on their hands, but that's not normal. Maybe fun. We don't always see things, you know. We don't see everything. We need each other. We have eyes, we have ears, we have different parts working together corporately. God designed us that way. Because we all have this potential to want to be it all. Come on. And unfortunately, even in clergy and in leadership, sometimes we get this mindset because I'm this or I'm that, or I have this title or that title, that somehow we're above all that. Now, that's another tactic that the enemy won't go into. But he does that. He tries to throw that one on you and make you think that you just got the monopoly on truth. I often get ministered to people from the congregation because the bottom line is we're all brothers and sisters at the end of the day. We've been given different assignments, that's all. And there is authority in the body of Christ, would you agree? Yes. But it doesn't mean that because someone has authority that they're greater than you. It just means God chose them for that purpose. As you know, if God wants to speak through a donkey, he can do that too. And I don't want to be replaced by a donkey, so I want to be faithful. So now we're on donkeys. Anyways, turn to. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. And we know Jesus prayed in John 17 that we may be one. And again, folks, it's not just for the sake of unity, but it's so that the purposes of the church and revealing the truth about the kingdom can be, you know, released through us. That Jesus came to save us from our sins. Now, there's a lot of confusion. And there's a lot of confusion even in the church today. There are so many persuasions out there. There are so many denominations. There's so many teachings that are going on. And we very quickly, because of the way that we're designed, we like to be in things that are predictable. We like to be in things that we can control. And so we often are big on programs. Nothing wrong with programs, by the way. But sometimes we put more faith in the program than we do the God of the program. And we want to be in control. Ownership. Control, you know. Now, God's people belong to God. Amen? I don't own anybody. We all are His property. I've been given a stewardship to feed His sheep, amen, to take care of His people. Do you know what? So have you. You are your brother's keeper. You are to take care of your brother and your sister. You are to minister as well. Just in a different capacity. But you are to minister as well. So that together we will grow healthy as each part, you know, is supplying that which is lacking in the other. And when we come together with the mind of God, then there is the release of God's power as they were in one accord, in one place, with one purpose, and that was to seek the Father. Amen? And the Father released the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in languages they'd never learned. There was this tremendous outpouring of the Spirit. 3,000 souls were added in one day. Can that happen in Shelton? Absolutely. You see, God doesn't want us just to think about our little church and what we're doing here and just, you know, one person here, one person there. I thank God if it's one person that gets saved, amen, a week, thank God for that. We don't despise the small things. But God wants us to think outside of our own limitations. Faith is always beyond what we're able to do. Otherwise, it wouldn't be faith at all. It'd be predictability. If I could predict what I'm going to do, and so that's what we like to do because it's comfortable. We get the machine well oiled, we get all the programs in place and the bells and the whistles, and I can pretty much tell you what's going to happen. Well, we're going to do three songs today. We're going to have a sermon, prayer, close, maybe an altar call. Now, if God says do that, do that. But we like to get into patterns of predictability so that we are no longer being put out there outside of the comfort zone of the boat. And God wants us to step out onto the water with Him. Now, if you want to really see God move in your life, you're going to have to say, it doesn't matter what I think. What does God say about it? If God said it, even if it seems like it's too much for me to do, well, if it's God, it will be too much for you to do. If it's God, it will be beyond your ability. But that's how He's glorified. When people say, isn't that the carpenter's son? It's beyond what we could do. And the world needs to see the evidence that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to be healing the sick, casting out devils, right? Cleansing the lepers, raising the dead. In Jesus' name. As representatives of the kingdom government of heaven on the earth. And with unity, there is so much more effectiveness. And that's why God is pouring out a spirit here, is because there is a unified people that are rallying around Christ. And not some personality. Amen. Not even music style. However, I believe there is a sound from heaven that we need to connect into. And there's always, amen, a fresh anointing released when we're tuned in to heaven. Anymore, it's like there's so much stale stuff that, you know, we've done. Well, why do we sing this song? Well, we've done it for 30 years here. That's just the way we do it here. And it's just as dead, you know. Now, once in a while, God will bring something out of the archive and He'll say, I want you to do this song. And it'll be just as fresh as it was then. But what happens is we like to get into the patterns of predictability where we say, well, you know, and I'm not picking on anybody individually here today, but, you know, there's a lot of us that, hey, if I had my choice, I'd just do 70s and 80s stuff all the time, you know? Because that's maybe where you began in your... Somebody said amen. Do I hear an amen over there? Because that was your experience, usually, when you came to Christ. And that's what you remember. There are memories there. It's an old landmark, and there's nothing wrong with it. The problem becomes that God is doing a new thing, because God is always doing something fresh. And we're afraid of change. Because it means I have to change too. I have to stretch. I have to adjust. I just got comfortable in church. And now we're going to move again. Or now we're going to do something different. And so the cloud leaves and we're still sitting in the camp. Saying, send the fire, send the fire. The fire, he said, well, the fire's there, go. I remember the good old days. What about the right now days? God is doing phenomenal things right now. And we sit around and we blame it's them young people. That's the problem. Maybe you need to listen to some young people. Come on. I've said this before. I'm going to pick on Nels and Jennifer. But when they came into the kingdom, they didn't have all the church baggage with them. Amen? Little or no background. Nels had a little, but Jennifer certainly didn't. But when you came to Christ, you came right into the move of God, right into the freshness of what He's doing now. Your eyes were wide open. You could see it. And you look around at some of the old wineskins that were sitting come on. I'm not picking on older people. I'm just picking on a mindset. Because there's old people here that are with the new wine. But you say, what's wrong with them? Why don't they get it? Has anybody else done that when you got saved? You come in and say, what's wrong with these people? You're all excited. You're like, and they're all. It's because we like to be comfortable. We like to be in that predictable place. And when we move, we need to move corporately, and we need to move in unity together as God is giving us the revelation of this is a new thing. God may completely mess up what we've got established going on right now, folks. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to make the change? Because I don't know about you, but wherever He is where I want to be. Whatever He's saying, that's what I'm going to say. Whatever He's praying, that's what I want to pray as well. So much. We'll finish the rest of it later on tonight if you can come out. There's so much. God wants us to be in the freshness and the refreshing that He's got right now for us. And so we've got to constantly live, folks, as Psalms 84 says, as a pilgrim people. A pilgrim people. We're journeying with Christ. Because it's when we begin to settle, you know, when we begin to sit, soak, and sour. We need to stay fluid in the Spirit. We need to be in tune with what God is doing. And God is going to constantly challenge us to go beyond where we were, to grow. Because if there's no change, there's no growth. And that part of, there's a part of us that embraces change and says, I want to grow. I want to be changed. But then there's another part of you that says, I don't want to move. I'm comfortable. And I usually look for a church where I'm comfortable. Then there's some people, unfortunately, that have been in the stagnant pond for so long that they don't even see it. They don't even realize it anymore. And sometimes God has to send somebody from the outside in to stir that thing up for them to realize. Or somebody has to say within that I am going to seek the Lord because I need to hear from God. I need an instruction from the Lord. I need to know what He says about this thing that we're doing. All of us have an opinion about how church should be. Come on. Everybody said, well, if it was me, I would do it this way. Do you know, I have to fight the same thing. I don't want to get to a place where I say, I want to do it this way, so we're going to do it this way. What I want to ask the question, I want to ask this question. If God is in this, then we're going with it. But I want to know, Lord, what do you think about what we're doing right now? Is this what we're supposed to be doing? What if God were to say, next Sunday I want you to meet at the school? Well, I think we're flexible enough so people would say, no problem, let's go. Most of us are there. We're right in that freshness and saying, okay, we'll do it. Which one, right? Yeah. But if we're not careful, even though we've only been here a year and a couple months, we can also start to gel in a place of predictability and comfort, and this is kind of like the way we want to do it now. And we can start to, in a sense, rebel against the Spirit of God that is telling us to step out into territory that we've never been in before. But that's where the fruit is. That's where life is. Wherever Jesus is at is life. So we need to continue as we are in a place of worship in the Spirit. Now, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail here, but I heard something recently at a meeting I went to where, in so many words, the person was not understanding, I think, what we call worship service. And they were almost criticizing, you know, the song service. I partly understand where they're coming from in that in some cases the song service becomes mechanical. You know what I'm saying? Where it's all about just the, you know, the mechanics of it and how well and how pretty the songs are. Oh, that's a beautiful song. But I didn't have time, and I'm glad I didn't probably because I would have stirred something up, but What I wanted to say is what we need to be doing is understanding that music is a gift from God. The Psalms are all songs. Music is an instrument that God uses also to help release the prophetic, as it was with Elisha, where he called for the minstrel. And when we do music, when we do songs, what we need to be doing is, and this is what I said, is we need to look for life. Where is life at? Wherever life is, that's where Jesus is at. If we're preaching on something and it's stale and it's dead, move on. But if it's life-giving, it's where Jesus is at. It's what He's speaking. There's freshness. There's a ministry. So it is with music. Music is a vessel. But what are we doing? We're praying. We're praising God. We're communing with Christ. And music is a beautiful way of expressing our hearts too, to Him. Now, if we go up here and we're putting on a performance, which we're not doing here, I know that. We're not going to go there. What we want is His presence.
That's right.
And unfortunately, in so many cases and places we've been, and I'm not here to compare us to somebody, I'm just saying that the body of Christ needs to wake up in some ways, is that they're just putting on a show.
Yeah.
A performance that people enjoy, that come out and be entertained for a while. But if they have not connected, if they have not received life in it, you see, ultimately what people are looking for is Jesus. It's not the preaching. It's not the music. They need Him. They want Him. Usually by the time somebody gets up enough nerve to come into a church building anyways, come on, they're pretty desperate. Unless they've been saved for a while, right? And we understand that we need to be in fellowship. But they'll come through there. Usually they're hungry for something. They're saying, I need answers. I need help. And if we cannot get into the place as a body where we are connecting to heaven, amen, to the Lord, and there's a release of His life, then you say, well, it ain't happening here. I'll go back to my Wicca. Or maybe I'll try Wicca. Maybe I'll try the New Age movement. Maybe they've got something going on. I want to tell you, and I heard this statistic, that 80% of people who are practicing Satanists came out of churches. Because the church has been dead. They've been in stale, dead religion. They have not been in the power and in the life of Christ. Because we want to have everything comfortable and predictable, and we're in a place where we control it. How many have realized that when God really starts to move, you're almost to the sense where you're just standing back and watching now? That's where I want to be. How about you? God is sovereignly just touch people and heal people here just because we get in the glory. Amen? We worship and the glory of God comes, His presence comes, and people just get freed up from all kinds, get healed. Sometimes we need to lay hands, but sometimes we don't. God just sovereignly says, I'm going to bless this one. I'm going to demonstrate my love for this person. And so why did Jesus do what He did? He did it because He loved people, but He also wanted to show people that He was, amen, the Messiah. And when we go in the name of Jesus as ambassadors of that kingdom government of heaven, as citizens of heaven representing Him in the earth, we need to also have something, amen, with us and in us. So that when we go into the highways and the byways and we go into the stores and we go out and we run into people, that we're going to have something that's going to be completely different than what they are used to. Isn't that right, Judy? God wants us to understand that wherever we go, we are the church. We are on assignment. And this is just a gathering place. This is a house that we gather in. And God wants to do supernatural things, doesn't He? He wants to heal people through you and through me. Amen. So that He can demonstrate His greatness to this world. So that the world will see that witchcraft does not have the answer. Satanism doesn't have the answer. New Age doesn't have the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the true God in eternal life. His power is greater, amen, than the prophets of Baal. There's a confrontation here in the spirit, and the devil hates what we're doing here because we are connecting with him. And there is going to be a manifestation of his glory and of his power in a people who are on assignment, who understand who they are, who will take the step outside of the boat to get onto the water where Jesus is at. And not only get out on the water, and I've repeated this a lot, but to walk successfully on the water. I don't believe Jesus wanted Peter to go back and sit in the boat and said, "Well, you failed, son, it's over." No! He needed to learn how to walk successfully in that place where Jesus was, because where Jesus is, there's supernatural ability. And that way the world will look at us and say, "Isn't that the carpenter's son?" It's got to be God. And he's glorified. That's why there's not many noble, right? All right. Hallelujah. Just common folks, as are all of us, that God's doing a work through, a mighty work through. Yeah. And we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. This is fun. I like serving Jesus. And let's not allow the flame that's within us to go out. Stay plugged in. Keep the oil flowing. Amen? The Holy Spirit. And keep your eyes open. Keep your antennas up. God has an assignment for you. And that's why here, I don't get up here and beg people to join this and join that and do this and do that. We just get people to get a hold of Jesus. Just seek Him. And when you seek Him, then you start to get the download. Then you start to get the revelation. Then you begin to realize the will of God for your life. You know, you shouldn't have to go around and look for a word. There's people that go around from thing to thing to thing to thing looking for a word from God. Do you think that maybe, there's a time and place for that, but do you think that maybe God just wants you to get on your face and shut the TV off and seek Him and get an instruction from Him? And then when the prophet comes and says, "I feel the Lord is saying to you," you'll say, "Yeah, that's what I got." Because what's happening is people are depending on somebody else's anointing. And they're going around getting words from people. Come on. And they're not hearing from God because they're not connected. They're trying to get it from somebody. They're looking at the body instead of the standard. And usually the same people are the ones that are causing trouble. Because there's no unity unless you're tuned to the fork. Amen? The standard of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for this meeting today. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for what You've begun in our hearts. We thank You for the Word of God. We pray that right now in Jesus' name, You will seal this Word in every heart. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every soul here. Lord, I ask You release the anointing right now, God. Break every shackle, every chain, every yoke of oppression off Your people in the name of Yeshua. Father, I pray Your kingdom come and Your will be done in every life. I pray for revelation, knowledge of the will of God in Christ. For each person here, I pray that we will rise up, Lord, to the call of God for our lives, our assignment in these last days, that You will raise up, Lord, a chosen generation, that we will go faithfully, Lord, in Your place, Lord, as You told us to go, to represent You. Oh, Jesus, I pray You'll give us a heart of evangelism, Lord, to tell people about the good news of Jesus. We pray Your kingdom come and will be done. And Lord, as it is in heaven, we call it in right now to earth. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Hallelujah. I'd like everybody just to close your eyes and bow your head for a moment. If you're here today and you were to die at maybe this very moment you were to die, would you be ready to meet Jesus Christ? And what would you say to Him in that day if He asked you, "Why should I allow you into my heaven?" Would you be ready to meet Jesus? Do you know you can know that? God wants to save you. He said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. I will never forbid you. In fact, Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. If you feel that you're lost here and you want to be found by the Lord, you want to know in your heart that things are right between you and Jesus, I want to pray for you this morning. And I want you to make a bold step and just slip your hand up and let me know so I can pray for you. Anybody here, you're not ready to meet Jesus if you were to die. Hallelujah. Shabikunama. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit at work right now. Anybody? Shabun. Maybe you've got something going on right now in your life that is a life-controlling problem. It's strongly something that you just can't seem to shake. You can't seem to get over. You can't seem to get through. God wants to set you free. And God can set you free. In fact, you can be free today. I'm telling you, you can be free today if you will humble yourself and respond and say, yes, I'm going to come, and I'm not just going to come to be prayed for. I'm going to come to be healed today. If that's you, I want to ask you just to come up right now. We're going to pray for you. You have to humble yourself. It doesn't matter what others think. Say, I need God's touch. I need to be set free. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Don't leave here. If you've got something going on right now that you just can't seem to get over, maybe it's a besetting sin that keeps plaguing you and you just can't seem to get free of it. Come on up. We'll break that thing off you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every one of us here is a work in progress. Everybody is a work in progress. So don't feel like you're being separated out or that there's something unusual about you. We're all going through this thing together. But I just want to encourage you to come right now so we can pray for you. God bless you guys for standing up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your goodness this day. Would you stand, folks? Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you His peace. Shalom. The Lord be with you. We'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock. Hope to see you. God bless you. I want you to go quietly. We're going to pray for some folks here. May the Lord be with you. Shalom.